Here we go. I was born in Orlando, Florida in September of 1966 and had the most wonderful parents who adopted me before I was born. They told me I was adopted when I was 5 years old and made sure I understood what it meant and told me how special I was because they chose me to be their child. My parents were very loving. And the unique thing was that my mom had been married a couple of times before and she had siblings, or my siblings. She had two older daughters, and then she had two sons and another daughter. My father could never have children, and he ended up with 7 of us. So, but he loved children. He would have had 25 if my mom would have let him. So that was also so very special because I was basically like their child together. So it was just a wonderful experience. I had a pretty normal life growing up with my siblings. I was the youngest of 7. My parents already had 6 other children, 4 girls and 2 boys. We moved around a few times to North Carolina, Ohio, and back to Florida to be close to family. I still have fond memories of playing in the snow with my sisters, horseback riding, and we were building snowmen. I wouldn't say that I grew up in a Christian home. I remember my parents taking us to church on Sundays, and we were raised in the Episcopal Church. As we got older, my mom stopped going to church. I don't really know why, but except on Easter and Christmas Eve Mass, she would make sure we would go, and she would dress us all up and put our hair in little ringlets, and that was just a time that she wanted to be there. My dad would try to still make us go, but we stopped going too. I really don't remember the name Jesus being spoken in our house, and through our growing up, my uncle was actually our minister, which really makes it kind of strange too, but I just don't ever recall ever having any conversations about Jesus. Now, our family settled in Lake Wales, where I attended junior and senior high schools around 1977. Some years later, I met a young man by the name of Chris Hatton at Crystal Avenue Pool Hall, which is where everyone hung out. Definitely was not a good place to be, but I was a lost sinner in need of a savior. Just didn't realize how lost. I thought Chris was very strange and did not want anything to do with him. He would start showing up to places that I went to, like our football games. We had a drive-in theater and he would show up there and he would just pursue me for months. But I was not interested at all. Well, some months later, Chris's best friend happened to be dating my sister. I did not know they were friends, and Chris didn't know that his friend was dating my sister either. I was hanging out with my sister and her boyfriend on a Saturday afternoon, and we went down to Lake Wales Lake. They had a park area down there, and that's where everybody was hanging out. And Chris just happened to be there, and when he saw his friend's car, he came over to where we were. He said hi, and then, of course, my sister and her boyfriend went off, and they walked down to the lake. So we just hung out and we talked for a couple of hours just sitting at the picnic table. And I discovered that he was a pretty nice guy. He was pretty cute too. Chris asked me to give him a chance and asked me out and said if I didn't like the date, he would never bother me again. I said I would go out with him. And at that time, the Lord was bringing us together, but I had no clue at all what was going on. And we got married a year later in 1982. Our marriage did not start out easy. We were just young and in love and had no idea what marriage was about. We struggled for a lot of years but never gave up on marriage or each other. God has truly blessed me with Chris for 41 years and has allowed us to grow together. I know now that God strengthened us every step of the way through all the struggles. He helped us overcome for his wonderful plan. God has used Chris numerous times and he still does to show me how great God's love is for me. We moved down to Chris's parents' house in Sunray, which is really considered frostproof in 1992, to help them build a new home. It took 3 years to build the house. That was a long process. They moved into their new home, and we bought the house in Sunray where they were living. Not long after his parents moved into their new home, Chris's dad was diagnosed with cancer, and he passed away in August of 1996. That was a very rough time for all of us, especially since we didn't have the Lord in our lives at that time. But I think the Lord really was trying to get our attention. Life went on, still feeling pretty empty. In the midst of our struggles, I was longing for something that was missing, and I could not figure out what it was. I just felt empty, and nothing was filling up the emptiness. Chris and I talked about it and decided we would try to find a church to attend. This was sometime in 1996. We tried a few, but nothing seemed to fit, and we stopped going. One day, Chris's sister Tyenja came over to our house to cut his hair for him. When I entered the door, she was literally glowing, and she began to tell us about a church she found in Avon Park. She had so much excitement in her voice, and it really made me take notice. She told us we really needed to come and visit the church on a Wednesday night. It was like a family night, but just try it, she said, and we did. That first night, we went, and there may have been 30 people, and they were all in their 60s to 70s. Except for one couple who came over to us, introduced themselves to us, and they were just bouncing off the walls, and, hi, how are you? We are so-and-so, and can we pray for you? And what's going on? And we were just like, we're like, okay, I'm thinking these are some strange people. Well, the next Saturday, because we filled out the visitor card, they showed up at our house with chocolate chip cookies, and that was their ministry. So we stood outside talking to them for probably 3 to 4 hours. We went back to church on Sunday and never looked back. This was in February of 1997. I was still new to this whole church thing and felt pretty uncomfortable, but it got better over time. That March, there was a revival scheduled to take place with an evangelist speaking for the week, and we attended every night. And on the following Sunday morning, there was an altar call, and I felt Jesus calling me, and I left my seat almost running to the altar. I couldn't get there fast enough. I was so grateful that Jesus saved me that day and showed me that he is what was missing. I was 30 years old, and the Holy Spirit revealed to me that Jesus loved me so much and protected me my whole life so I could choose him. I know some people remember the exact date and time and where they were standing and all, but I recently heard this statement in the women's Bible study from the speaker who said the same thing, that the date is not what's important, it's knowing that once I was there and now I am here. Mm-hmm. What a powerful truth. I thank Jesus Christ for changing my life forever, for the cleansing of his precious blood that day in March of 1997. I can remember that afternoon and the next days after that, just walking out my front door, and the grass was so much greener and the sky was so much bluer. I just felt peace. It was amazing for what Jesus had done. I still had a lot to learn and was thankful the Lord brought us to that little church where not only I was saved, but Jesus allowed our relationship with our pastor and our friends to help us in our journey to learn more about him. And I also got baptized that October. We were at the church every time the doors were open. Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. We served in street ministry. We were on the worship team. We did Easter plays. We built sets. We set up, tore down. Whatever we could do, we did. We just wanted to serve him. The church called our group of friends and our pastor the parking lot junkies. We would stand in the parking lot fellowshipping all hours after church. We would be there sometimes till 12 and 1 o'clock in the morning after Sunday night service. Just fellowshipping, talking about Jesus, and it was awesome. And during my growth in my new life with the Lord, my dad got sick and was diagnosed with acute leukemia in August of 1997. And he passed away that September. It was very fast. That was one of the hardest things that I had to go through, but I am so thankful that my dad didn't suffer and that Jesus was in my life to help me get through it. We didn't have Jesus in our lives when Chris's dad passed, and what a difference it was. But both of our dads knew the Lord, and we are grateful to know we will see them again one day. Even with tremendous blessing in my life, there was still a longing in my heart that I needed to fill. I really wanted to have a baby desperately. I'm not going to cry. We tried several different things through the process, and nothing worked. I could not understand why the Lord would not allow us to have a child. My heart was breaking, and Chris's heart was breaking too, because I was hurting. I would have really bad infertility days and would just be so sad. The church knew of our longing and had been in prayer for us too. One particular Sunday in December of 2000, I was having a really bad day, and working in the nursery that morning really intensified it. After church, Chris could tell I was having a hard time, and he knew why, and he told me that he just didn't believe with all the love we had to share that God wouldn't bless us with a child. He said, one day someone is going to come up to us and tell us about a child for adoption, and that child would be ours. And I kid you not, we went back to church that night, and good friends of ours approached us and told us about a baby they knew was going to be put up for adoption. We looked at each other and said, yes, without hesitation, didn't know anything. but we knew, okay. We were given the information and the next day started the process. Jesus knew I would not be able to wait 9 months. And he gave me 3 months to get everything ready. What a whirlwind. We had just bought a house and relocated to Sebring Hills in September of 2000. And our precious baby girl was born March 1st of 2001. We wanted her name to really be special, so we picked out the names Hannah, which means gracious, and Elizabeth, which means worshiper of God, and her life is true to her name. Through this whole process, I witnessed just how real God is in my life. I know he heard my heartfelt longing for a child and my crying out to him 5 years earlier. I had to stop trying to fill this longing and give it to him and truly lay it at his feet, because this gift could have only come from him and his timing. When Hannah was 6 months old, we moved my mom in with us to take care of her. She was so happy and fell in love with Hannah. Mom lived with us for 3 years, and I was grateful that Hannah got to know her grandmother. My mom started to fall ill and was unable to stay at home by herself any longer, and I was not able to stay home with her. And I had to move her into a nursing home, unfortunately, where she could have constant care. It broke my heart to have to do that. She was local, and Hannah and I would go to see her on the weekends while Chris was working, and sometimes we would be able to check her out and bring her home to spend time with her, especially on the holidays. In December of 2009, I had to have a complete hysterectomy. This was another challenge. I was only 43. To me, that was young. And a little nervous because I had never had any surgery or even had been in the hospital, but I was trusting Jesus and knew he would help me through it. I was in the hospital for 2 days, and when I came home, my mom passed 2 days later. That was really hard. I know my mom knew the Lord too, and again, very grateful that the Lord allowed my parents to live full lives, and he also allowed all of us to become adults before calling my parents home. Now I'm going to back up just a little bit to talk about the Lord calling me into the children's ministry. We began to feel God moving us from our church, which was very painful, and drawing us to BFC. Really didn't know why he was moving us, and we started attending BFC in 2004. We decided we would just sit and soak for a year or so before we would try to serve anywhere. So in 2005, I felt a tug at my heart to get involved in the children's ministry. So I met with Renee Ledoux, the children's ministry director, and told her I was wanting to volunteer if there was anything I could do. Renee told me about the Wednesday night program at that time called Friends, and told me I could possibly help out there, but I ended up teaching the second grade Sunday school class. Renee also told me that they were looking at a new curriculum for the Wednesday night program from Word of Life. It's called Olympians for first through fifth grade and Gopher Buddies for 3 years to kindergarten. And they were having a meeting and invited me to come. Well, Chris had begun helping me with the second grade Sunday school class, and the Lord actually moved Chris into the teaching role, which was great. Now, in the midst of that, the Lord put it on my heart to have Chris come to the new curriculum meeting with me, not really knowing why, but we left that meeting, and Renee had made Chris the head coach, which would put him over the whole Wednesday night program. This is really where our journey began, with truly serving together in the children's ministry. The Lord was doing something once again. We served under Renee until 2014, when Renee retired to pursue another opportunity. I learned a lot from Renee, and I was grateful for her leadership and friendship. Little did I know, the Lord was about to change my life again. We owned our own business called Haddon Trucking, through which Chris was a FedEx contractor for all of Highlands County. I took care of all the administration side of the business, making sure everything was handled. I also worked a full-time job at the Avon Park Housing Authority for almost 5 years, and we were raising our daughter. And Chris expressed an interest, after praying about it, to apply for the Children's Ministry Director position, and I told him he should go for it and see what God does. I completely supported him. It's amazing how the Lord can change your whole world, and it's amazing how he works everything out according to his plan. Because Chris was still a FedEx contractor, they proposed to hire me as full-time staff, but we would both be children ministry directors, and that way, Chris could still run our business and volunteer to help me. I did not see that coming. We prayed about it, and everything that needed to take place, the Lord perfectly lined up, and we knew the Lord has opened this door for a reason. I turned my notice in and started in September of 2014. This turned out to be such a blessing, and I am thankful the Lord has allowed my journey to be able to work with my husband every day serving the Lord. And the unique thing is that we're in that tiny office together every day. So, that is huge. I also get to help serve with Hope Ministry and love on kids in the community and tell them about Jesus. And that is something special in itself, because those kids are, they will tug at your hearts. They're not like all the kids that come here. They're just a little different. But that is a huge blessing. And I'm also blessed to serve the Lord with my daughter. What great joy Jesus has given to me. To God be all the glory for saving me and changing my life forever. I am so blessed to get to do what I do. And I think that pretty much covers my story. I know I talk a lot about Chris and Hannah, but I cannot give my testimony with them not being in it, because God has just given me so much through Chris and through Hannah, and I just can't express that enough. So I just want to give him the glory for giving me peace and joy, and just he continues to get me through every day. But there are some scriptures that came to mind that I just thought they fit my testimony, and I wanted to share. The first one, of course, being Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And he has definitely, in my life, done his plan, and I see that. Also, Ephesians 2:8-10, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And also, Isaiah 41:10, it got me through literal storms in my life and just spiritual storms, and still does. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I thank you guys for allowing me to share my story with you today. And that's my life.
Give them an opportunity to ask you questions.
Sure.
But I have one.
Yes, ma'am.
Please tell us how old you were when you married your husband.
Chris was like, you can't tell them that. I was 16 years old. With parental consent, okay? We had no idea what we were doing, and we were just babies. Chris was 19 when we got married. So he has just, yeah, he grew us up together.
We grew up together.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
Anybody else have questions?
He taught her how to drive.
Yes.
Yes, he did. He did.
Have any questions for Dana or for Hannah? Okay.
How did your Hope Ministry begin?
How did Hope Ministry begin? Yeah, I had to leave out that part because it would have gone forever and ever. But Chris began to feel that he was getting pulled out of the ministry because of the business side. It was increasing, like, overnight. It was going to expand tenfold. So he had to make a choice, either go for the business or go for ministry. His heart was in ministry. So we kept pursuing everything to grow the ministry, and the Lord would slam shut every door that we needed to try to walk through. So we're like, okay, well, let's put the business up for sale and see if we can buy, you know, find a buyer. And he asked the Lord, he said, okay, Father, if this is not what you want, send me a buyer. Well, the following week, this person comes in from New Jersey into the terminal and wants to buy the business. So in June of 2018, he sold the business. And we were like, okay, thank you, Lord. Because it was a lot. A lot of things happened during our time with that. Well, he still didn't know what he was going to do, didn't know what the Lord wanted him to do. So he just kind of sat, and we had the opportunity at that time to attend GCBI. And we were able to sit and take the Bible class for a year. So I was still working here. And once we did that, he was like, okay, Lord, now what? So on a Thursday morning, he got a hold of Chris. And like at 6 in the morning, gave him everything about Hope Ministry, and he worked on that for at least 12 hours. Gave him the mission statement, what it was going to look like, how he was going to do it, and it was born. So he presented it to the church, to Pastor Todd, and to the elders, and within a few months, they, in 2019, they actually hired Chris as basically like the local church missionary at that time. for Hope Ministry, and it was born. He was still running children's ministry with me, and still does. And that's really when it was born, and it took off. So, yeah, that's kind of the story with that, in a nutshell. Yeah, that was another blessing to get to do that. But it was hard, because we just didn't know, and we knew his heart was in ministry, and we just didn't want anything to pull that out. So we were, what do we do? So God fixed it for us. Yeah.
Who else has a question?
Okay. You don't have a question.
You can.
What's your favorite thing about what you do Wednesday night?
What is my favorite thing? Well, it's like this morning when Miss Logan ran up to me and hugged me. It's being with the kids and just loving on them and the things that they just come up to you and say. But that, in the craziness of Wednesday night, because it's nonstop from the moment you start till you stop, it's the kids. It's just being able to interact with them and just talk to them and just kind of do life with them on Wednesday night. That's my favorite.
Yeah, they love to, like, come and, like, catch you up on their week. It's the best. They'll come and, guess what I did this week? It's like you're sitting there trying to check in, like, 12 kids walking by, and you have one kid sitting here trying to tell you what they did that weekend. So it's like, okay, we'll pause this. And, like, so mom's trying to talk to the kid, and I'm, like, grabbing the papers from her. I'll check in the kids while she's doing
it. Yeah, it's a team effort for sure. Yeah. But it's a blessing. It just, the way the Lord has grown. Wednesday night and Sunday mornings, just new families and new faces constantly coming in. It's a blessing. So, mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if everybody notices or knows that Hannah, from the very beginning with you, has been part of this ministry, very much involved.
Always, since the moment we came. And that was, and I kind of left that part out, and I should have said that. When we came, Hannah would never go to the Sunday school classes when we were trying to find a church. It was, nope, I'm staying with you, or you gotta come with me. And she was three. So when we came that Sunday, we walked back, they took us back to where the Sunday school class was, and she walked right in and said, see ya. We're like, okay, well. So we knew, that's never happened, never. So we knew we were where we were supposed to be. So that was huge, but she has never complained. She's never not wanted to serve. She has always been right by our side, so which is huge. You just don't get that a lot. So
she's very much a part of this ministry.
She is a huge part of this ministry. She is. Yes, ma'am.
So on that note, what are some of the doors that God's opening for Hannah, or what are some of her dreams?
I'll let you address that.
Well, a couple years ago, I was at Word of Life Bible Institute, and I thought that I wanted to do ministry because of that. And then I came home, and I was like, okay, maybe my ministry, because I was really geared towards nursing, so I was like, maybe my ministry could be, you know, at a hospital or at a doctor's office, and I liked kids, obviously, so I wanted to go towards pediatrics. And then Miss Christine Gilbert, I was talking to her one day, and she was like, why don't you come sub? Because I was looking for a part-time job. She's like, why don't you just come sub at the school and we'll just see where that goes. So I started as just a normal sub, going in, like walking the kids to lunch, and if there was a teacher, I'd sit in the class. And then I did, they were like, well, we have another job opportunity for a long-term sub in the behavior unit. And I was like, okay, I guess, but I don't know what I'm going to do. So I did that for almost a year. That was really hard. I had a lot of the, I don't want to say bad kids, but the kids that just wouldn't go sit in a normal classroom, the teachers wanted to put up with them, basically. Didn't have the resources to put up with them. So I got the privilege of being with them and loving on them, and not much got done. But, you know, they had a safe place to be, and I loved those kids, but it really took a toll on my health. So I just stepped back from that because I was having panic attacks every day, and it was just, like, not great. And then I was like, okay, maybe the Lord doesn't want me to be with kids every day, because it was kind of taking away. Like, I would come here stressed out, didn't want to do anything with the kids here because I just left from getting cussed at, kids, you know, screamed all that. But I didn't want to be here because I was like, kids are not my friend right now. So I got a job opportunity at the eye specialist of Mid-Florida, which is where I'm at now. I've been there for a year, and I'm getting to learn how to love on the older generation, instead of kids, which is kind of fun. But then I get to come here, and I have my relationship back with my kids, and I love my kids again, so it's a nice break. So that's where I'm at right now. Just, you know, hanging in there, going to work every day. And I come in here and get my baby fixed. So.
She's adulting. She's doing it well.
Oh, yeah. My next goal is to buy a car. Saving up the money.
Yes, ma'am.
What could we, as your sisters, a body of sisters, do for you? I know you need volunteers, but I know some people are not able to do that, but what else can we do?
We really need men. So if y'all can just stand with us in prayer that the Lord would just put it on the men's hearts to serve, that's really where we're at. So because our wonderful sisters will step up every moment, every second, and they have. They continue to do that, and we're so blessed by them. But we do need to have men in our ministry. So prayer, I would say, is a huge, huge thing, because God does answer our prayers. But that's really the biggest need, I think. Thank you.
Young men, too. Because the boys, for some reason, respond to, like, teenagers and like college age.
Oh, young
people.
Men, you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Younger.
Like,
men.
For some reason, the boys, like, they feel like they get them whenever they're like, they're like, yeah, you get me, like, as a college age kid, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Repeat what she says.
She was saying we need younger men, like, so the kids can relate to them more. Fourth and fifth graders will draw to, like, Will in our ministry. They will, yeah. They like, and even Ethan. Mm-hmm. So they like to just converse with them because they're, I guess it's more relatable. The older generation, they have so much wisdom to give them, but you know, they just, sometimes the kids don't think about that. But yeah, so we do need some young men too. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
How do you get fed?
How do I get fed? Well, that's a good question. But we do. We listen to podcasts. We watch the service when we can. During, like, nursery, we will have it on, as long as the kids aren't, you know, pitching a fit, you know. But we will listen to that. And in our own downtime, we will continue to get fed. We're constantly doing, Chris and I are going through Revelation together right now. And just doing it that way. And getting to attend your Bible study has been a blessing. Because that's getting fed, yeah. So it's hard, but God does, he does feed us. He continues to make sure we are fed. So you don't see us, but we're still there. So.
All right. We get to hear from the kids tomorrow, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The kids,
oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yes. The kids are singing with us.
They
today,
are.
Right?
They're singing the commission. Yep.
So let's pray for Dana, if you guys wouldn't mind. Our big verse as a women's ministry years ago was 102:18. Let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. And I think you can see generations have been changed and blessed and nurtured for generations, not just her own, but all of our children. Raise your hand if you've had a child or grandchild. Spend any time with Dana and her people. Okay, it's a lot. This was kind of a lot of kids' second home, so we appreciate what she and Chris and Hannah have done. And there's always, I love when you hear, I just love just your story, you hear what God has done to get them where they are. It never just happens. God has everything from the beginning of time when she was adopted. Can you imagine standing in the heavenlies, God seeing, wait till she sees how this thing plays out. You know, oh, what a beautiful piece. So thank you. I just want to encourage you as well. You have that story. And we are here to bring glory to our Father and to tell people what he has done, how he's gotten you here. And for those other generations, the babies that they have, that's what's going to feed them. That's what's going to feed me. That's what's going to feed our sisters. So thank you for sharing. If you guys wouldn't mind coming up and standing around Dana, and we'll pray for her. Just a couple of people pray out loud, and we'll end with that. Yeah.
Well, we thank you so much for Dana and Chris and Hannah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Haddon family has such a ministry and such a presence in this community, and we're so thankful for all that they do and their leadership and their friendship and just loving on children and leading them to Jesus. And I thank you for the blessing to get to work alongside them and the privilege to have served in some pretty interesting and fun places with them. And Lord, it's just amazing what you're doing through them. And so our church is blessed by them, the kids are blessed by them, and we are blessed by her sharing her story today. And so we just say thank you for Dana.
The scripture, suffer not the little children, comes to my mind. Father, thank you for blessing people to do your work. Father, thank you for trusting us enough to do your work, to be your hands and feet. Thank you, Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the beautiful picture that you see before any of us of our lives, and just how difficult it is to wait on your timing, but how valuable that is once we see you work. And just thank you for the trust that we can put in you for each phase of our life, and that you have brought that the desires of Dana's heart into fruition, and that you would just continue to bless them and Hannah and the ministries of the Hope Ministry and here at BFC. We thank you so much for her testimony in her life and her love for you and for children. In Jesus' name.
Dear God, your word says how beautiful are the feet of those who bring to Oh God, we thank you that you have laid on the heart of Chris and Dana, Hannah, to bring this good news to these many, many children, not only at the Bible Fellowship, but in the community. Oh God, how good you are. How much we need you to continue to keep your hands on so that we can continue to walk faithfully before you. And we'll give you all the praises.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much the way you show us so often the progress of redemption in all of our lives.
Hallelujah.
Father, it's been so good to hear the progress of redemption today in the Haydens' lives. The way you brought them to yourself, the way that you brought them to each other, and then to yourself, and then the way you brought Hannah into their lives, the way you brought them from business into ministry, and on. Father, thank you so much for your redemptive plans in all of our lives. Amen.
God, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for every ear that is here, and then everyone that'll hear this testimony, because we know that you're going to encourage, and we know that you're going to help change lives through the work you've done. We pray for the men, that they would come and serve, that you would change not just ministry, but families, God, that men would serve and be leaders and desire you, God. We just thank you for this group of women. We thank you for Dana and what you've done in her life, and just a testimony of running to you and trusting what you have for her life, God. It is such a blessing to watch her love you, and you love her. Thank you for all the gifts. Thank you for Chris. Thank you for Hannah. Thank you for the continued ministry they have as a family. And we just pray you continue to bless them as they continue to go down this road that is not really always easy. Give them strength. Give them wisdom. Give them support. And more than anything, God, give them your power and your strength. And that they would just be satisfied in the things that you have, that we would all be satisfied in the things you have for us, God, the things we don't understand and the ways that you're working that we can't quite see. Lord, we pray that we would keep our eyes on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, God, so much for who you are, and just pray you'd be with us this day. Keep us safe and well, and as we go out, in Jesus' name, amen.